Omar, thanks for that. Representative Jones, from where you sit in the legislature, as he pointed out, there will certainly be powerful vested interests who oppose your bill. What about his comments? It's interesting to hear the generational divide on this issue from younger callers. They are have a very different take than maybe their parents or grandparents. But what about his comment about the state's private prison industry?
So I'll be honest. I can't speak to those individuals who will lobby against the bill. My hope is that the way that I present this bill to my Republican colleagues who might disagree with this will come from a level of cost savings for the state. But I also want to go to his first ask. What he said as far as young people is concerned, to go back to something that was said as far as youth being incarcerated, or what my the leadership and Republican leadership says about it being it deals with brain development. So we know that substance use may not be good for their brain development, but we have to address that from a public health strategy and not through criminal procedure, because we don't have the most current data available for this last year. But I've been notified that 20 kids in Broward County last year that received felonies for possessing THC. So these are young people losing their scholarships, their driving privileges, maybe getting prison time, probation, and all of these enormous fines. So I thank Omar for making that statement when it comes to our youth. And me as a millennial also, I do wish the tides change a tad bit. But I also know that, you know, in all of these things, of course, there will be individuals that will lobby against something like this. I don't know what groups or how that looks, but my hope is that we look at this from a cost savings perspective here within the state of Florida.
Dara Camp, do you see those arguments gaining traction or not? As you've been saying, you still see this being a politically contentious fight in Florida.
Well, I do see it as a contentious fight. I don't think it's an ageist attitude, because some of the people that I talked about who are against full legalization are millennials, and certainly baby boomers grew up, you know, with the wake and bake. So I don't think that and we had all demographics supporting medical marijuana in Florida 3 years ago. So I don't think it's based on that there's any kind of variance based on that. And I will say that these studies that the Republican leadership point to about the negative impacts of marijuana on the developing brain, people push back against those and say, you know, that they are not really, that they're overstating what the reality is. And I don't want to advocate one way or another. I'm just saying that's what they rely on. It politically charged issue. I think that if the federal government does in fact deschedule marijuana as a Schedule I drug, that would make it easier. It would give them shade for Republican leaders to embrace marijuana as okay. I think that would be a step in the right direction. And also, Sally raises a good point, and what John said to me the other day, if we get the medical marijuana operators who are spending upwards of $50 million to purchase medical marijuana treatment center licenses in Florida today, more than that, then they have plenty of money to spend on a constitutional amendment, getting the signatures and getting it onto the ballot. So I don't think that money will be an issue in that arena. It's just a question. It is getting a little bit late in the game. They have to have all of their signatures in by, I think it's February of next year. And so it's a little bit late to start that effort. And a lot of it will depend on the language of the proposal. Remember that in Florida, we had the first attempt at getting medical marijuana passed failed. And so 2 years later, they rewrote it, they tweaked it a little bit, and it did pass. I think the attitudes, I mean, everyone's attitudes towards marijuana have shifted. And the use of it as a medical treatment, which it is now, it is a legitimate medical treatment for people with a whole host of ailments, mm-hmm. has normalized it. It is mm-hmm. becoming normalized. I just don't see our state, a pretty conservative state, embracing full legalization yet.
Yet. Well, it's been so illuminating to speak with both of you. Thanks so much, Representative Chev Jones, Democrat of Broward County.
Thank you.
Derek Ham, reporter with the News Service of Florida. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And this is the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Right now, we're going to speak to another expert. It's Holly Bell. She's the state's Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services Director of Cannabis. And as we continue talking about cannabis in Florida, we don't want to leave out hemp. The state's new hemp law went into effect on July 1st, and Holly's department is the regulating body for this new industry. Holly Bell, thanks so much for joining the show.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So this new law went into effect last month. What are the key things it covers?
So Bill 1020 that the Florida Senate passed covers some very key things. That is, first of all, it redefined the cannabis plant in the state of Florida to mirror the Farm Bill from 2018, which created a new category that I call industrial hemp, and that classifies industrial hemp as the cannabis plant that has 0.3 of THC Delta 9 or less, which then took that off the Controlled Substance Act and made it legal. And that gave us our state hemp program. Then the bill outlined some very specific things about how to grow it, how to label it, how to protect consumers, and it creates a hemp advisory council. So also defines how the extract is defined as a human ingestible product so that we can protect consumers.
How much of a cash cow, a crop boom, do you expect hemp to become for Florida once the program is fully in place?
So if you look at where the hemp industry landed in 2018 nationwide, it was right at $1 billion. With double to triple digit growth. And that's expected to grow for the next 2 to 3 years is what all the forecast is saying. I believe that in the first year, it'll be a multi-million dollar industry in 2020 for Florida, with it becoming very quickly a multi-billion dollar industry for Florida.
Let's talk about CBD as well, another product derived from hemp. You can get it everywhere, at the gas station, a vape shop, the grocery store. It's everywhere, not well regulated yet. How will the new program help consumers regulate this product, CBD?
So with the passage of the bill and the language that's in there, the labeling is what's really going to protect our consumers. And what the bill says is that the labeling must provide a QR code or barcode that a consumer can scan. It takes them back to a COA that's done by a third-party ISO-certified lab that a consumer can look and see what is in that product they're about to purchase and put in their body. So it will give them some very good testing requirements that will protect them and make sure they know what they're ingesting.
I don't know if you saw this, Holly, but according to a new poll, CBD is now a more popular web search than the Kardashians. They have knocked the Kardashians off the top of the rankings.
Wow.
This product, CBD, for the first time in 10 years. So I know you're a busy lady as you deal with this brand new industry for the Sunshine State. And as we continue talking about marijuana and also hemp, we're going to go to your calls and tweets on the Florida Roundup after a short break. Lots of tweets coming into the show. Here's just one from Cole. The state needs to get on board with what the people want. This is long overdue. Legalize it, he says. Do you agree? Maybe disagree? Get on the line now. It's 305-995-1800. More to come in a moment here on the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio.